Fantastic. Okay, you ready for the Word of God? Okay, we're ready. All right, what I want to do this morning is I want to spend the next couple of weeks talking to us about family and about the different generations. And it's Mother's Day today, so I want to talk to us this morning about the legacy that we're going to leave or that we are already leaving, okay? And so I've got loads of scripture later on as I'm speaking this morning, but I want to talk to us about the legacy that we are going to leave. The word legacy in the dictionary says this: it means anything handed down from the past. So a legacy is not about the bank balance that someone's going to leave you. Legacy is not about just about the stuff that you might get. It's anything. I liked that. It's anything that is passed down from the past. It's anything you get from those who have gone before you. It's anything that you are beginning to pass down to the generations coming up below you. And this morning, I want to challenge us and talk to us about what we pass on, because it is so important. The legacy that we leave for the next generations is so important. And at some point, we need to realize that everything we do will be passed down to the next generation. Some of you are shouting amen, yippee, and others of you are going, let me find the door now. Okay, we've locked it. No, we haven't really. Okay, we can't get out of here. Okay, but I want to talk to us about the legacy that we're leaving, because today, let me tell you this, today, whatever legacy you've left so far, today you can change that. Okay, so if you're sitting here thinking, oh no, the legacy that I've left is not brilliant for my kids, then do you know what? Today you can change it. You can totally and utterly change the legacy that you have been leaving. Today you might kind of go, I'm doing okay, that's fantastic. But you know what? We can up the ante a little bit. We can always get better. And so I want to talk to us this morning about four things in a moment that we are going to leave. But I want to look at the Bible a little bit, if that's okay, and look at what the Bible tells us about this thing called legacy. Okay, so I'm going to read a few verses out from the Voice version of the Bible. Psalm 135 verse 13 says this: Eternal One, your name is everlasting. Your legacy, Eternal One, will be known throughout all the ages. Do you realize this morning that the legacy that God has left, okay, is going to go on for all generations? It's not just about us. It's not just about those who have gone before. It's about years down the line, the legacy that God has left will still be going on. Jeremiah 3:25 says this: Let us fall on our faces in shame, covered in our humiliation. Ours is a legacy of rebellion. And then later on in Jeremiah 5, verse 7, this is God talking to his people. How can I forgive you for what you've done? You have passed on your legacy of rebellion to your children who have also rejected me. Legacy is not always positive. It's not always something that you're thankful for. Some of us may have lived under a legacy that is damaging and that is, you know, not great for us. This morning, I want to tell you, you don't have to live under that any longer. You can choose to change that, okay? One of my favorite verses that I found this week in The Voice says this, Psalm 16, verse 6, My home is surrounded in beauty. You have gifted me with abundance and a rich legacy. I love that. I think I want to get that on a plaque for my house. My home is surrounded in beauty. It's not talking about the natural things that we can see. It's talking about the things that are unseen in the homes in which we live. And then the Message version says this in Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Don't you see, children are God's best gift. The fruit of the womb is his generous legacy. However you feel about them this morning, whatever time they got you up. Yesterday, we did Mother's Day yesterday because I end up working most of Mother's Day. And at 6 o'clock, Caitlin came in with Special K in a bowl and put it on my bedside table. Math ushered her out of the bedroom because it was meant to be my lie-in. And so I woke up at 9 o'clock, turned over and saw this congealed mess on my bedside table. So cute, though. She had tiptoed downstairs. She'd got Mathis Cheerios and me some Special K on her own, tipped the milk in. I wasn't quite sure what state the kitchen was in. Math got that when he got up. But do you know what? No matter what you feel about your kids today, they are a blessing from God. And we actually really need to get good at realizing that. You know, on those hard days as well as those easy days, we need to get good at realizing that they are God's greatest blessing in our life. They are our legacy. And Proverbs 13, verse 22 says, it's a good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. Ill-gotten wealth ends up with good people. The Bible has a lot to say about this thing called legacy. And whatever legacy you have had left to you, you still have a choice of what you're going to pass on to others. A legacy is not just about what we give to our kids. I got a card yesterday from a girl that I've known quite a few years now. And she doesn't live in Louth. She's not from Louth. And she just sent me this card, this Mother's Day card. And it was really moving as she just kind of listed some stuff that I'd meant to her in her world. You know, it's not just about your own children. It's about anyone that you begin to influence. You will begin to leave a legacy over their life. You know, as we lead here, we leave a legacy in this house. And I want that legacy to be a good legacy. And this morning, I don't know if she'll ever listen to this. She does sometimes listen to the podcast, but this is just dedicated to my mum. Everything that I'm going to say is dedicated to her because I have been blessed enough. And the more I do life and the more I do church and the more I bring counsel into people's life, the more I realize that what I had is not all that common. But I have an amazing mum who is, I've got to be careful because I keep saying things like, or typing things like, has left a legacy. She's still doing it, okay? And so I have to be really careful what I'm typing there, okay? But having a mum who leaves a great legacy, who is continually, even in her 70s, leaving a great legacy, not just for me, but for my children and for my grandchildren alike. She is leaving a legacy that will last so far into the future. And so what I want to look at this morning is four legacies. There could have been a load more, okay, but time would not permit that, all right? And it's Mother's Day, and I know you all want to get out and be with family and all that kind of stuff. So I want to look at four legacies, okay, that we should be leaving to the next generation. Are you ready? Okay, number one, okay, we should be leaving a legacy of laughter. A legacy of laughter. And me and my mum, usually at really inappropriate times, would get the giggles, usually in church services where everything was really serious. I can remember, you know, not allowed to tell, I don't know if we should record this actually, but I can remember this couple, I don't think they'll ever hear this, got up once to sing in church. It was in the era with singing items, and they got up, and the guy had his guitar, and his wife got up to sing with him. And my mum and dad had warned us before church, if you go and start messing about when they're singing, we're not going to be impressed. And so we're sat there. My brother, his shoulders are going up and down like this because it was terrible. They should never have been allowed to get up and sing. I know that we think everyone should be given a go at everything, but it's really X Factor had nothing on this couple who was singing on the stage of our church. And then we turned round to see my mum, okay, absolutely crying with laughter, okay, having to wipe the tears with her handkerchief, okay. She had told us on the pain of death, okay, we had to sit there and respect whoever it was up there, and she was absolutely killing herself laughing. We would laugh and laugh and laugh. One of the main times I remember, just like, we laughed for hours. It was more at my mum than with her, granted. But she ran our kids ministry for years and still does to this day. And she's been a children's pastor for over 50 years of her life. And we were going to this kids party, and it was fancy dress. Why she ever came up with good ideas like that, I have no idea. So she says, right, Joe, we'll get a few of us. We're going to go as the Wizard of Oz. Okay, mum. So I think I went as the Tin Man. I was going to get photos out and then realized it would embarrass me as much as her, so I put them away. So I went as the Tin Man, and my mum went as the Scarecrow. And so we decided that we would have like a dress rehearsal to make sure the costumes fit. And so we tried on all our costumes, and we had this like long broom handle that we put through this jacket to keep my mum's arms, because she was like, this is just going to be a bit too hard for me to just stand there like that. So we put this broom handle in, and we put all the straw coming out of the hat and all the straw in. And then I decided I didn't really need a trial run. It would be absolutely fine. And my mum's going, right, okay, let's kind of forget this now. We know it fits. We know it's okay. Right, help me get changed. Well, I was just like, no. She was walking around the house like this going, Joe, you need to help me. I'm like, I am not helping you at all. And so her arms are like, she can't move, she can't do anything. Joe, we're going out. I said, Jan, you're going to look really great in that, Mum. And like, she's walking around. I think we had people coming to the house. And she's like, Joe, you really need to help me. I'm just absolutely killing myself laughing. My dad came in and she's like, Jim, will you help me? And he sees me killing myself laughing. He's like, no. No. I think then, like, my brother came in. Mark, will you help me? No. And she's, like, stood there going, and she's laughing. And I made her put the makeup on as well. And so, like, everything's running everywhere. And like, we're all just absolutely laughing. Eventually, she's not still stood there with a pole. Eventually, we did help her out of it. But, like, she was there for a good 40 minutes, you know, going, you need to help me. We're like, no, this is hilarious. Absolutely fantastic. She was dreading going to the kids' party because she thought none of us would help her get changed at the end. And I'm putting this poll in going, Mum, this is never coming out. You do know that. But the thing is, she was always game for a laugh. She was always the kind of mum that we laughed and laughed and laughed with. Time and again, we laughed until the tears rolled down our face. Huge amount of the time. It was totally inappropriate, at an inappropriate time, not at an inappropriate thing. She's quite pure, is my mum. Okay, so, but you know what? We need to leave a legacy of laughter. Let's not be so serious about life. You know, in church, we need to leave a legacy of laughter. You can laugh in church. It's absolutely allowed in this house. You know, we want to leave a legacy where we laugh together because laughter makes us feel good. Laughter is something that, you know, when you get a fit of the giggles, when you begin laughing, when laughter fills your home, you find that other things will leave your home. So sometimes the stress of the day will leave when you begin to laugh. And usually, you know, in our house, it's people laughing at me, not with me, a bit like it was in the house when I was growing up. We'd usually laugh at my mum, not with her. Okay, but she was fine with that because she wanted a home that laughter filled. She wanted to raise a family where we laughed together. Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5 says this, all you saints, sing your hearts out to God. Thank him to his face. He gets angry once in a while, but across a lifetime there is only love. The nights of crying your eyes out give way to the days of laughter. Do you know what? For some of us this morning, we need to allow God to get rid of the nights of crying our eyes out and make way for the days of laughter. You know, we need to come into a season where it's not all serious and harsh in our homes or even in this house as a church. And we need to come into a season where we laugh. I've read this morning, but Psalm 100 says this, on your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Bring a gift of laughter. A lot of the time we want to shut kids up from laughing because they're usually laughing at not such a great time. But actually, laughter is an absolute gift to your world. God loves laughter. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there's a time to cry and there's a time to laugh. Sometimes we have to choose to leave the legacy of laughter in the hearts of those we do life with. I want to ask you a question this morning, especially for you parents in the house. What main emotion is in your house? Because that's the legacy you're leaving. Because a lot of the legacy our kids get will be from our home. What's the main emotion in your house right now? And there are seasons when we're stressed, and that is understandable. There are seasons when life's difficult. There are seasons when there is grieving and mourning. But I want to say to you, when was the last time your house had a season of absolute pure joy and laughter? When was the last time you just let your kids laugh at you? Because actually, I don't think it's showing disrespect. I think it's part of family life. Because actually, sometimes I'm a complete muppet. Sometimes I get it wrong. We were digging yesterday on the sand, and Math told me I was digging the sand wrong and was stood there laughing at me when we were doing tidal fights. And I'm like, this is why I never play the game, because everyone tells me I do it wrong all the time. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to laugh about it. When we adopted Oliver, We were told we weren't allowed to change their names, but we could change their middle name. And when we were trying for children, the middle name, if we had a boy, was going to be Isaac. And so we named Oliver Isaac. And the word Isaac means, the name Isaac means he laughs. And we didn't realize, we called him that actually before we even knew him. And then we met Oliver, and Oliver has the most infectious laugh. My mum says it's a dirty laugh. And when he really starts laughing, you have no idea what he's laughing at, but you join in because it is that infectious. And actually, when he came into our home, the main gift that he brought to us was laughter. And it's not that we never laughed before that, but the main gift Oliver brought to us was the gift of laughter. And when that little boy begins to laugh, it doesn't matter how much I'm telling him off. It doesn't matter what is going on in the world. When he begins to laugh, I begin to laugh with him. And the greatest gift he has brought into our home is this thing of laughter. You know, when you begin to tickle Ollie and he gets that belly laugh going on, you can't tickle him anymore because you just absolutely, he is so hilariously funny. He told me a joke the other day. That was the worst joke I think I've ever heard. Don't tell him I said that, okay? But he laughed after he told it me. And I was just in the car killing myself laughing, thinking, that's not even, it doesn't even make sense. It's not even funny. He's at that age where he's making jokes up. And it's like, it's not funny at all. It doesn't make sense. But you're laughing, so I'm going to join in with you. Okay? And he thinks I'm laughing at the joke, and I'm not at all. I'm laughing at him laughing at the fact that he thinks it's funny. Doesn't matter why we're laughing, though. Actually, we need to leave a legacy of laughter. I want when people come into my home, whether it is my natural home or my spiritual home, them to go, actually, there's laughter in that place. It's a legacy that we're leaving. It's something that is passed down. Actually, do you know what? We can get together and we can just laugh. We don't have to be serious about everything, you know. There's enough seriousness out there sometimes. Actually, when we come in here, it can be a place where we kick off our shoes and where we begin to laugh with one another. So that's number one. Number two, we need to leave a legacy of devotion. One of my lasting pictures that I have from growing up was when I used to come downstairs in the morning, about 7:30, I'd come downstairs and I'd walk into our dining room, and my mum, I remember it from winter especially, my mum would have like the chair pulled right up to the fire and have the fire on, and she would have her Bible out and she would have her highlighter out, and before she did anything during her day, she would be there with her Bible open. And she'd be praying. And we'd kind of go into the room and think, Mum's reading her Bible, she's praying, we're just going to leave her for a few minutes. No one had told us to do that. But we just knew this was a practice she had every day. Do you know what? As adults, parents, okay, young people kind of growing up in the house who I know my kids look up to, do you realize you're leaving a legacy for those already coming below you? One of the things we need to leave is this legacy of devotion. I want our kids to see how devoted I am to the things of God. I want them to see how devoted I am. I want my kids to see the devotion that I have. And the thing that I remember most about my mum would be those early mornings when I would come down and she'd just be sat there. And she had this Bible in a year that she had. And she must have read it, you know, 10, 15 times. Every single year she would read the Bible through in a year. And she would just be highlighting different things that God spoke to her about every single day. And I can remember her going through a time where we were pretty convinced she had bowel cancer. And we had a friend of ours who was a GP who was also uber convinced that is exactly what she had. And God spoke to her. The only thing she could have was water. She couldn't really eat anything. And she was losing a lot of weight. And God spoke to her in one of those days where she would sit by the fire with her highlighter and her Bible. And he said to her, you will live a full lifespan, 70 years and 10. My mum was about 50 years old at the time. And she went to my dad and said, God's spoken to me. This is what he said. He said, right, you're going to be fine then, aren't you? And a couple of years after that, she had breast cancer. And my dad turned to her and said, God's promise doesn't change now. Because she lived a life of absolute devotion. When those storms hit, when those things hit her world, she is a woman who stays resilient to the things of God. She stays resilient to the promises of God. And life can try and batter her down, but she will always rise again. And I'm not saying that she didn't have moments where it was all overwhelming and too much. She did have those moments. But in those moments, because she'd lived a life of devotion, she had something to go back to. I want to say to us as parents, let your kids see you loving God. Because if there's one thing I know, it's when kids really see that, they are more likely to continue doing it themselves. Let's leave a legacy of devotion. You know, whether we realize it or not, others will see and be impacted by where our devotion lies. Where does your devotion lie this morning? Where does your devotion lie? Your time will show where your devotion lies. Our finance shows where our devotion lies. You know, everything we do will show where our devotion lies this morning. And we need to leave a legacy of absolute devotion. The Apostle Paul said this. He told his leaders to imitate the way he followed Christ and the way he lived his life. That verse challenges the heck out of me. Because if I stood and said to everyone this morning, as your leader, imitate the way I follow Christ. I know some days you'd be going up the dead end. I know some days you'd be going up and having to make a quick U-ey, okay, because actually you're following me up somewhere where maybe I shouldn't be going and you're following me. Do you know what? This morning I want to say to us, let's leave a legacy of devotion. Let's let people see where our devotion lies. Sometimes we're going to get it right. Sometimes we're going to get it wrong. But let them see where our devotion lies. We're getting this morning. A legacy is anything that is passed down. Anything. The good and the bad. So this morning, let's pass down the good. Thirdly, we need to leave a legacy of letting go. I remember coming to my mum when I was 14 years old and telling her what I was going to do with my life. And at that moment, my mum and dad began the process of letting me go at 14 years old. Going to serve God, Mom. I don't know where that's going to take me. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. But this is what I'm going to do. When I'm 18 or when I finish school, I'm going to go on ACE teams, which is exactly what I did. And I'm going to serve them. And then I don't know. But I do know that I'm not coming home and that I'm going to serve God. That's what I told them at 14 years old. Never once did they go, Joe, you are not doing that. Even though it probably wasn't what every parent would want for their kid. Never once did they kind of tell me I couldn't do it or I shouldn't do it. Do you know what? They just began to let me go. So when I turned 16 and went on mission, God said to my mom, this is the first step of letting her go because you gave her to me and I want to do something with her life. And so they let me go on that mission to Liverpool at 16 years old by myself, didn't know anybody that was going on the mission. And they just began to release me. Do you know what? Parents in here, we need to leave a legacy of letting go. Because that legacy carried my mom and dad through into my adulthood. And when I was going through a divorce, the one thing that they wanted to do is come put me in the car and take me home. Because even though I was 26, 27, I was still their baby. I'm their baby. I'm 40 odd and I'm their baby. And I was still that. And they, you know, when they came to see me, everything in my mom wanted to go, just pack your bag. Because it's going to be fine. Just pack your bag. Just come home. But I know that when I was 14, she said to God again, she's totally and utterly yours. So whatever, I am going to let her go. Do you know what? We've got to leave a legacy, adults in here, of letting our kids go. Psalm 22 verse 6 says this, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. Do you know what? There comes a point when we're not kids anymore, and we need to make our own path. And I'm dreading that point with my two children. They're in primary school. I'm okay. I can preach this today. I don't know if I want to preach it in 10 years' time. Okay? But we're okay today. But the thing is, we've got to have a legacy of letting them go. Let them make their own journey, their own way in life. Some of the time, they're going to make mistakes. I know I did. And some of the times, they're going to get it absolutely right. But there comes a point that when they're older, they need to make their own path. And this is what we do. We believe that as you have left a legacy for them, they will follow God. Even if there's a season when they don't, they eventually will. And as you let them go and you let God find them and you let God call them back, there will be an absolutely amazing time in your life when they will phone you up. And I've seen it with my sister where they phone you up and they go, I just need to let you know all that God stuff that you taught me. It's all working through. And actually, God never left me. And I actually never really left him. I know I walked away a little bit. And I want to encourage you this morning that actually letting go is a really good thing. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 says this in the Message, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. At the end of the day, my prayer for my kids is, God, keep them on track. That's not always going to be me. Because there'll come a day where I need to go, God, you need to look after them now. Because they might not be in my house anymore. They won't be in my house one day. That is going to happen. Math would prefer it to be sooner than I would, probably. But I think that might be the difference between dads and mums. Okay, I just want to go, just all of you stay. And Math goes, no, when they're 18, we're not going to kick them out. It's okay. But we know the day's coming when actually we need to trust God from the bottom of our hearts with what he entrusted to us. You know, I was thinking on this week that Jesus' mum, Mary, had to let him go. And I don't know about you, when you read the Bible, we can kind of read it knowing what happened at the end. But as she stood there in the wedding, you know, when Jesus turned water into wine and Jesus rebuked her and called her woman. If my boy ever calls me woman, I don't think I will have the grace that Mary had. You know, woman, if it, I can feel it rising already. But he rebuked her, and then later on, she had to let him go into ministry. And then can you imagine what it was like stood at the foot of the cross? Her baby was up there. You know, and he may have been God's son, but he was also her son. And she was a mum just like you and I, and she had to let him go into the thing. The most painful thing, I think, that it's got to be is to watch your child go through that. And Mary let him go. She let him go. She didn't hold him back, but she allowed him to pursue everything that God had got for him. And as well as leaving a legacy of letting go, we need to leave a legacy that lets go of yesterday and whatever that held for us. Don't allow your yesterday to encroach upon your children's tomorrow. Don't allow what you've been through yesterday, whatever that be, and I'm not belittling that, but don't allow that to encroach on what they're going to go through. I don't want Caitlin to have to rework through a load of stuff because I didn't leave the right legacy for her. Do you know what? We can let go of how previous generations were to change how future generations will be. I don't believe that we need to live under the curse of a previous generation. I think Jesus died, so we don't have to do that. And I think that we can move forward and we can decide what legacy we're going to leave today. Lamentations 3, verses 57 to 59 says this: "You came near when I called you, and you said to me, 'Do not fear.' You, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life. Lord, you have seen the wrong done to me. Uphold my cause." Do you know what this morning? Because of Jesus, he redeems our past and he sets us on a new path. And that new path can help leave a legacy for what is coming for our kids. It's God who redeems your life. It's God who puts it on the right track. It's God who gives back to you when life has stolen from you. And when we're prepared to let the past go, God can redeem our future to leave a different legacy than we have lived under. It's all God. Just because things have happened in other generations doesn't mean that it will happen in ours. So we leave a legacy that lets go. And then fourthly, we leave a legacy of godliness. Do you know what? My kids are really the ones who see me. You see the Joe that puts the face on and, you know, wears heels and stuff like that on a Sunday morning. And they see the Joe that's tired and that, you know, doesn't always get it right. And the Joe that can't be bothered sometimes. And the Joe that is sometimes angry. And the Joe that is stressy. Because when I'm at home, my guard's down. And my kids see who I really am. But we need to leave a legacy of godliness. Because I can remember watching as I grew up. I've talked to you about this lady who has been leaving a legacy the whole of her life, actually, my mum. But I watched my mum and dad serve. I watched them get hurt. I watched them get back up again. I watched them forgive. I watched them move on. I watched their marriage. I watched how they spoke to one another. I watched how they navigated tough times and realized that they have left me a legacy of godliness. Now, I'm not saying they never got it wrong. But when they got it wrong, I watched as they fixed it. because they got it wrong sometimes, you know, and they had arguments sometimes, not very often, but when they did, they were huge. I can remember going and staying at my sister's one night. I'm like, I'm not staying here. Sort it out, Mum and Dad. See you later. And I went to stay with her for a little while. So they didn't always get it right, but I watched it as they fixed it. They left a legacy of godliness. They left a legacy that did life well. Godly behavior is a must when we're wanting to leave a right legacy, both in family life and in every sphere of our influence. 1 Timothy 6:11 says this, "But you, man of God," this is Paul talking to Timothy, "flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." This is what I want to say to us this morning. Godliness is something that we need to pursue. Godliness isn't going to come and find you. Just sitting down one day, minding my own business, and all of a sudden I become godly. Godliness has found me, okay, and I'm on my way with this. Actually, it's something I need to pursue. Because, you know, naturally, I'm not going to want to do what the godly thing says I should do all of the time. It's something that I need to run after and that I need to pursue. It won't just find us. We need to pursue it. And if we're going to leave a legacy of godliness, we need to be intentional about it. It's not just something that's just going to happen. We need to be very intentional about that. And we need to make sure that we are living our life in a way that shows our kids, actually, this is how you do it the godly way. I know, you know, our kids are in primary school and they come home having learned all sorts, most of which I wish they had not learned. Okay, and all of a sudden we're realizing, now one of them is in juniors, that they learn stuff that I don't like them learning. Okay, and we kind of had this conversation with our kids just in the last few weeks, and we said, you know, words that you do not hear mummy and daddy using, you should not use. We have to be really careful now. We had this conversation with another parent, friend of ours, and they went, yeah, we gave that rule, and then I used a word I shouldn't use. So now we say whatever mummy doesn't say, you're not allowed to say. You got to be careful then, you know. But if we're going to pass godliness down, godliness is a consistent form of behaving. And I'm not saying that we're not going to get it wrong, because we are. But it's a consistent way that we choose to pursue to behave in front of those we're leaving a legacy for. Because kids copy what you do, not what you tell them. Anyone else realize that? As I watched Caitlin put her doll on timeout, I realized the way I really did it. Like, I thought I was like Tanya Byron, the child psychologist who always got it right. But no. I'm like, "Caitlin, where did you learn that?" "Well, that's what you do to me." I do not do that to you. She's like, "Yes, you do." And I kind of thought about it and I thought, maybe we need to change the timeout policy. Okay, maybe we need to change how we're doing this. Because they copy what you do, not what you tell them. You know, I tell them, don't do this. But if they see me doing it, they're going to do it at a time where there's the widest audience to see them doing it. And then they'll go, "But my mum does that." We need to leave a legacy of godliness and be intentional about it. Godliness is how you are in public as well as how you are in private. It's how you behave on good days and on bad days. It's how you respond to the positives and to the negatives of life. We're going to leave a legacy of godliness. We're going to have to watch how we are living. It's not all about how our kids are living. It's about how we are living sometimes. And so this morning, I don't know about you, but I'm going to leave a legacy not just in my natural home, but in my spiritual home. So if you're in here this morning and you're not a parent, do you know what? There are people who are following you. This isn't just for the parents. There are people who are following you. There are people who are looking up to you. There are people who are copying what you do. And there are people whose lives are going to be impacted in years to come because of your life that you may not even know you're influencing. And so this morning, if you want to be someone who is intentional about leaving a great legacy, I want you to stand to your feet where you are, because I want to pray for us. That's you this morning. Actually, it doesn't matter what legacy you've had left to you this morning. You can decide, actually, I'm going to leave a different legacy than the one that was left to me. I realize how blessed I am. And I know not everyone's had the legacy that I've had. If my mum ever does listen to this, thanks, mum. Because you left something incredible that is now hopefully being passed on to your grandkids. And then onto their kids as well, you know. This morning, let's be a house, a church that leaves an incredible legacy to the generations that are coming up. Come on, if that's you this morning, let's just raise our hands and just allow God to talk to us. Father, thank you for an amazing church. God, I thank you this morning for amazing people in this room right now who are leaving already amazing legacies to those coming up after them. And Lord, I pray right now that you will inspire us and challenge us, God, in how we live and in what we do. Lord, I pray you'll help us leave a legacy that is incredible for those coming up, that we will leave a legacy of laughter, that we won't take ourselves too seriously. That, God, we will leave a legacy of devotion, that people will see and hear what and who we are devoted to. That, God, we will leave a legacy that lets go, that allows children to grow up and become who they're meant to be. God, a legacy that lets go of the past and embraces the future. And God, I know that's easy to say in a prayer, and I pray for those who are working through that, that you will give them strength and help. And God, that we will leave a legacy of godliness. That we will walk away from the stuff that is wrong, and we will pursue the stuff that is right. God, I pray in each of us, God, because I know in my life there's things, but I pray in each of us, Holy Spirit, that you'll begin to niggle us about the things that we need to start walking away from and the things that we need to start pursuing. God, those times when, you know, the Bible says about you, God, that your anger lasts a moment, but your favor, your love lasts a lifetime. Lord, teach me how to be that mom. Teach me how to be that leader, God, where, yeah, things might make us angry, but God, I pray it will be momentary. And then, God, I pray that there will be a whole load more of love and favor. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that we would leave a legacy both in our homes and in this house to the generations coming up that is of you, that God is what you want it to be, and that Father God is something that will cause the generations beneath us to flourish. I pray they'll never have to face some of the stuff we might have had to have faced. Because God, we decide to deal with it, walk free from it, and hand them a different legacy. Lord, a legacy is anything that is passed down. And Lord, I pray this week that we will begin to pass down the positive stuff, not the negative stuff. That God, you begin to deal with us, so that we can leave them something incredible, Father. God, may it be said of this generation in this house at this time that we left a lasting legacy that propels the next generation into everything you have got for them. In Jesus' name, amen.